FreedomSlips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Rest, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Okay, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon here, Saturday afternoon in the UK, which means it's 11 a.m. on the East Coast in the States. Welcome to Free Association, and this is a show that's here every week. We've got a theme going on at the moment. I've got a bit of a eugenics theme going on. It's been cropping up every now and again for the last month or so, and I want to continue that theme kind of a little bit today, and then move on to transhumanism a little bit, and then move on to something else. Because I was thinking about doing another Doctor Who show, but to be quite honest, I could do it and it would work, but I think I'd rather do something else. I don't want to get stuck in transhumanism and eugenics. I want to be able to move on, and my head's full of eugenics at the moment. So I was listening to A Perfect Triangle last night my time, which is Giuseppe's show on a Friday, and he was interviewing Dr. Judy Mikowitz, and she was on top form, absolutely top form. It's very, very, very good conversation, and I recommend that to anybody. If you can listen in the, it'll be in the archives, probably by now. If not by now, it'll be there later on today. But I highly recommend it, that you listen to it if you haven't already. And that's why I'm that's why I'm here. Essentially, it's that kind of quality that makes Revolution Radio what it is. And I had a couple of thoughts while I was listening to Judy and afterwards, and it occurred to me that I'm still resistant to the idea that eugenics is happening, but I'm now less resistant after hearing that interview, because I think there's a plausible mechanism for the emergence of eugenics from the scientific research environment of the 1980s, 1990s and 2000s. So the point that Judy makes is, Dr. Judy makes, is that there's a criminal conspiracy going on, and research is being falsified, faked, and there's regulatory capture of the journal, scientific journals, and the organizations that do the funding. And those things are true. But my question is it then the next step that eugenics is either consciously being put into that situation or could emerge from that situation subconsciously, organically? And I think it's possible that it could emerge organically. There doesn't have to be intent there for the eugenics to happen. It's possible that there is intent there, but I'm holding fire on saying there is until I've got more. But there's definitely an emergent property of that research situation environment is vaccines that are contaminated, that produce immune system effects and potentially cancers and potentially autism and potentially a whole lot of things because of the contamination of the vaccine process. So I'm almost there. I'm halfway there. I'm not going to take the next step until I've got more evidence, but I'm almost there. So eugenics is definitely a thing that's going on. Whether it's conscious or not, I can't say yet, but it's definitely a thing that's going on based on the interview with Dr. Judy Mikowitz on A Perfect Triangle last night. So there's that. So the things that emerge from the environment, in the same way that on my first eugenics show, the video that emerged at the end of the show linked together Joni Mitchell and eugenics, and I didn't do that. That was an emergent property of that combination. So it's possible that in a scientific research context, something similar could be happening. So whatever algorithm occurs inside of people's heads that links things together, I mean, there's backstory to Bill Gates, and there's backstory to other people in the scientific research community. So there's more than just an emergent property of eugenics going on, an emergent property of created disease going on, shall we say. I don't know whether it's eugenics without the intention. The intentionality probably has to be there for it to be described as eugenics, but there's definitely an emergent property of the creation of long-term sickness, long-term disease. So that's where I am at the moment, and it's enough to take one more step, I think. And we'll see where I end up with this, because it's a next logical step. So my thought process is an emergent property of my previous thoughts, and that's where it's taking me. So that's where that is. I wanted to go backwards a little bit to Harold Wilson, who was British Prime Minister in the 1960s, and it's the 58th anniversary of a speech he gave on the 1st of October 1963. So I've just missed the 50th anniversary. But it's an interesting speech. It is basically setting out an agenda for technology and an agenda for social change to incorporate technology. So I thought that's part of, it's kind of part of a technocratic process or a technological process that we've been going through for 58 years. But it's an interesting speech. I found a clip that's worth playing, I think. So this is Harold Wilson with some music. And so there's some images on here, but the music's good, so I'll just let it play. I'll let it play for about 5 minutes.
Reaching changes in economic and social attitudes, which...
All right, let's try that again, because I got bumped off. So let's try again.
In terms of the scientific revolution, but that revolution cannot become a reality unless we are prepared to make far-reaching changes in economic and social attitudes which permeate our whole system of society. The Britain that is going to be forged in the white heat of this revolution will be no place for restrictive practices or for outdated methods on either side of industry.
All right, I think I was just playing that to myself. Never mind. Talking of the white heat of technology, it's only white heat of technology in 1963. In 2021, it's kind of a blurry, mucky grey kind of colour because it doesn't work when you want it to. And it just does whatever it wants to do. I'm assuming I'm back online again, but I'm probably going to be limited in the amount of videos I can play, because all my text went green and blocky and I couldn't read anything and it locked up and there was all sorts of things going on there, honestly. So I don't have a plan B because I was just going to play videos today. So I'm now going to talk for 40 minutes and hope that I say something sensible in the frost. Well, I might not talk for an entire 40 minutes, but certainly some of it will be me. So the white heat of technology speech, as I said, was 58 years ago last weekend. It's the 1st of October 1963. So it's been a long time. It's been a long time. The next line is obvious, but I'm not going to say it. Right, so yeah, Led Zeppelin, I suppose. Led Zeppelin is an example of technology. I was going to play an episode of Tales from the Dark Side, which was about witchcraft. That's also an example of technology. A different culture and a different use of the word, but nevertheless, psychological technology and spiritual technology and influence technology, whatever you want to call it, hypnotic technology. And the reason I picked that episode of Tales from the Dark Side is, number one, it's the first one that I watched this morning when I was looking for material. And number two, it was very, very good. So, but I don't think I'm going to be able to play it. Let me just have a try and see if I can get another browser working, and then I'll try again and see if we can play it. We'll do it from a different browser and see if that works. So talk amongst yourselves for a couple of minutes while I get this set up, and keep your fingers crossed. So this is plan B, which I was hoping I wouldn't need. But we'll give it a try and see what happens. So this is an episode of Tales from the Dark Side, and I'll tell you which episode it is. It's called Parlor Floor Front. It's season 2, episode 4. For those that need to know these things, and it's on BitChute if you want to have a look yourself.
That is just as real, but not as brightly lit. A dark side.
This, aren't you?
Well, you scared me. What did you say?
See, you're so into it, you didn't even hear what I said.
I enjoy sealing cracks. Cracks are meant to be sealed. Mm.
Linda.
What is it?
I just spent a lifetime in the Housing Bureau. It's no use. We can't evict Mars because of the rent control laws, and we can only raise his rent a few bucks a year.
You're kidding.
Uh-uh. We'd have to prove we needed the space. And with 4 floors and only 2 of us, that'd be a pretty neat trick.
Darn. And he has the best room in the house, the parlor floor front.
He's had it for the last 40 years. Do you ever think Mars Gillis was a janitor here before either one of us was born?
Oh, I have such dreams for this house. It is just not fair. And we spend every spare moment we have scraping and sanding and wiring and making it a special place, and he gets to stay here practically free. I mean, what are we working for? Mars Gillis?
Mars, what do you think is troubling the landlord now?
Perhaps it is their way of telling me the rent is due. Some pound on door, others on the floor.
They want you to leave now, huh?
Mm.
Listen to me, brother. Don't let them intimidate you. You needn't do any such thing.
If I had a place to go, I would gladly do so.
Mars Gillis, you're too good for your own good.
I'm going upstairs to pay the rent.
I want it to be a really elegant house again. I mean, can't you just picture it in all its former glory? With polished banisters and fires in all the fireplaces. And the front parlor is essential. But how can you have an elegant house without a front parlor?
Well, it looks like we can't kick you out, Mars. Not legally, anyhow. We never knew that when we bought the place. Last thing we had in mind was renting a rooming house. But it seems that life is short and leases are forever.
Why don't you just go? Everyone else did.
I have been unable to find a place to go.
The others found places.
Did they? Do you know where Mrs. Evans went or Mr. Vasquez?
No, and I don't think I'm responsible for Mrs. Evans or Mr. Vasquez. Nor for you. Why should we have to provide for you? $95 a month. You're getting away with murder.
Well, perhaps I can help you. I have been known to help people.
Well, I never say no to help. Maybe you could help me clean out the cellar. I'd pay a minimum wage.
Well, that is not exactly what I meant, but if that is what you wish. Sleeps. He will turn from your rival and return to you.
Mars, can we put an evil curse on her like she did on me?
No, my child. You are protected from evil now. That's all that's necessary. I take no money.
I almost forgot. You never fail me yet, Mars.
I wonder if he reports that income. The gold to the IRS.
What do you want to do, Linda? Have him thrown in jail?
How about going back to the Housing Bureau? He uses that room as a place of business. I'm sure there's some law about that.
What is witchcraft, anyway? Semi-professional or what?
Pete's sake, Linda, instead of making such a big deal about old Mars, why don't you do something with it? You're an anthropologist. Do a study on witchcraft in old Brooklyn.
What does everyone know about witchcraft? If you believe in it, it works.
I'm sorry.
How can you be so clumsy? Nobody can be so clumsy.
Perhaps I can fix it.
How? With voodoo?
That was an antique, Mars. You should have been more careful.
He just threw it on the floor.
I didn't.
Yes, you did. I saw you take the cost out of his pay.
I can't do that.
Why not? There are men a dime a dozen that would be glad to do this work.
Now you insulted him. And he does work hard, Linda. And the fact is, it's not easy to find somebody who'll do this kind of work so cheap.
So cheap? Look what it cost us. We'll never find another vase like that. You better make him pay for it.
So let's say we split the cost of the vase. I'll take half the cost out of your pay and I'll absorb the other half.
I didn't do it purposely.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know. Really tough. I hope you're happy. I docked him half the cost.
Half?
Linda, have a heart.
Where can I get one? Cheap. What's up?
I am responsible for this thing. Let me be cursed. If another is responsible for this thing, let them be cursed.
Ow!
Linda, take a look. A 2x4 fell on my wrist. I think it's broken.
Great. I just hammered my thumb. Let's see.
Ow!
Oh! Oh, it does feel swollen.
It's the curse. I think it's working.
Oh, sure. You really think so?
I'm just making a bad joke.
Suppose I told you that Mars tripped over a can of paint that I left on the floor.
You're telling me it was your fault Mars fell?
Well, you know what he said in the curse about responsibility?
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm really responsible. Really.
I see. Well, I have a real broken wrist, and I'm going to a real hospital, not to a witch doctor.
It's the curse.
You fell off the ladder.
Something pulled my leg, Doug.
It's probably your guilty conscience.
I don't have a guilty conscience. I was pulled. Doug!
Oh.
He's dead.
He probably ate rat poison or something.
He didn't eat anything. He didn't do anything. He just dropped dead. Doug, pay him the money. Pay Mars the money.
Are you kidding? First you don't want me to pay him, and now you want me to pay him because of a dead cat?
There's something else I haven't told you.
What now?
Well, the reason I'm so worried is I think I'm pregnant.
Great. Why didn't you tell me before?
I was afraid you wouldn't let me work on the house.
Darn right I wouldn't.
But now I know. I know it sounds dumb. But I'm afraid of the curse. The doctor said it must have been the fall from the ladder.
I'm sorry, sweetheart. We'll try again. What's important is that you're okay.
It's the curse. I was pulled off that ladder.
You can work on the house now. That'll take your mind off
it. Don't you understand? It will go on and on. Pay him what he wants. Tell him what he's done. Tell him.
Linda, it's too embarrassing.
You won't tell him? Even now you won't tell him? I've got to go take a walk and get some air. Do you have any idea what's happened?
You hurt your thumb, I heard.
And Doug sprained his wrist. I suppose you know about that, too. The cat died.
Your cat? How?
I don't know, Mars. How did it die?
I'm sorry. He was a pretty cat.
And then I was pulled off a ladder. I was pulled off.
The hands. You felt them?
I felt them, Mars.
No.
And then I lost the child I was carrying.
No, no, I did not mean for that to happen.
What did you mean to happen?
I only meant a little mischief. I didn't mean to kill anything. The power in me is too strong. Too strong. I am being punished for my foolish pride.
You're being punished.
Forgive me.
It's a little late for that. If we, pay you what we owe you, then will you take off the curse? Oh, that's right. You only take gold. Well, this is all the gold I've got. It better be enough.
Here in our house.
I couldn't turn Honoria down. She said she couldn't afford a funeral home. I mean, I wanted to get rid of the guy, but that was ridiculous. There must have been 200 people in and out of here today. Do you think there'll be any more people coming tonight, Miss Gillis?
You see how they all came to honor me, brother? But you people, you new people, you came and disrupted our lives, interfered with our lives. Showed us no respect.
I really liked your brother, Miss Gillis. He was a hard worker and a nice guy. What's this doing here, all this gold?
Have no fear. It will be buried with him in the morning.
But isn't that a waste?
All the evil my brother took from this world is in that gold.
That's Linda's ring, my wife's ring. I think it's a mistake. Mars must have found it.
There is no mistake. It was in his pocket when he died. Put it down. Have you gone mad? It is contaminated with evil.
What do you mean she's burying my ring with him?
Don't look at me. That's what she says she has to do.
Please, Doug, I don't want my ring buried with that man.
She's never going to believe that he just found it lying around the house.
He didn't just find it.
What?
I gave it to him to take off the curse.
You really believed in that nonsense?
Of course I never believed it.
I don't get it.
I wanted him to go away without a fight. I wanted him to think he owed us something. I didn't mean for him to die.
It was you!
You made everything happen, didn't you?
I didn't mean to bang my thumb, and I didn't have anything to do with your sprained wrist. You did that.
But that gave you the idea, didn't it? You purposely fell off that ladder, didn't you? And the cat. You killed the cat. You weren't even really pregnant, were you?
Please, I don't want my ring buried with that man. It gives me the creeps.
You don't even realize that you killed that old man, do you?
Please get it back.
Get it back? All that I want to do is get away from you.
No. 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 You can't just go like that.
Really would be funny if he was a witch, wouldn't it, Linda?
So that's Tales from the Dark Side. The finale is a little bit too visual for radio, but you kind of get the idea. She went downstairs to steal the ring back, and then the guy downstairs turned out to be undead rather than dead and went looking for his gold. So there's a lot of themes in there. There's a lot of things to unpack. I thought it was really good anyway, but I'm easily amused, particularly on a Saturday morning. I'm very easily amused. But the themes in there, the intentionality. So Linda's intentionality for getting rid of the guy downstairs, his intentionality with the curse, was to bring it on himself if he was responsible, and to bring it on the other person if somebody else was responsible. So that in itself is a thing that's worth looking at, intentionality and how to allocate responsibility, if indeed there is responsibility. Because all of that was a product of the situation. It was a situation with built-in tension because they couldn't get him out of the house. So the whole thing revolves from that tension of the need to get him out of the house when they're unable to do it. And all of that follows on from there. So is there intention there? Is there agency there? It's all people responding to the previous thing in the environment of the house. So I don't know whether you can say for sure that there is agency in there, because human beings will have particular responses that people do get frustrated and angry and wish ill on other people. And is wishing ill on somebody else enough to curse them? That's a question that comes out of that as well. It could have been Linda's ill will to Miles, the guy downstairs, Miles, I think his name is, that produced the situation, that produced the curse. So there's a lot to think about in there. I thought it was very interesting, and it sparked my thought processes this morning. So it looks like we're doing this in reverse. So I'm going to go backwards to the clip I was going to play second, which is a clip from the Dark Horse podcast about technology, about transhumanism. Hopefully this will work, depending on the vagaries of the technology. So it's Brett Weinstein and Heather Heyer. This is from a couple of weeks ago. It's about 7 minutes, 6.5 minutes. I'm responding to a question.
I like your idea of Fourth Frontier. Others think that the next frontier is body-mind tech merge. IOB. What's IOB stand for, Zach? Okay. And then there's a link to something.
Internet of Brains.
Maybe. There's a URL, siliconicarus.org, transhumanism, thoughts. You know, we've been hearing more and more of this. I think Joe Rogan brought it up.
Yep.
I think Brian King brought it up. A number of people feel like this is where we're going. They don't want us to be going there, but it's inevitable.
Well, okay. First off, we got to relax.
Do we?
Yeah.
Really?
A little.
This doesn't sound like you.
We got to relax, get our head in the game, and then leave nothing on the table. Leave it all on the field. I don't know. No, we don't need to relax. But we need to relax about the idea of the tech merge, because it's too late. It's already happened.
Okay.
So, okay.
Yeah.
The thing is, you have already merged, but because the interface isn't wires, for example, it is somewhat invisible to us. Now that said,
but I mean, I found myself doing this today, just like the, you know, out in nature, and just like, I'm just gonna look at this.
Right. Oh yeah, they got you.
Terrible. Awful.
Yeah,
it's completely awful.
Absolutely crazy. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I think the point is, look, it's happened. We can see that the consequences are not entirely horrible, but
yeah,
a lot of them are really catastrophic. It's disrupting and some all of sorts
them
of normalcy.
Will be irreversible.
Right. So, well, you know, hence what we do argue in the book, which is that you ought
in part put your phone down. Really, put it down.
Well, put your phone down. But, you know, look, if you're going to make a transition about which you know very little about the consequences, then you better be prepared to unmake that transition. And the way we adopted the smartphone, you know, what seems like forever ago, but wasn't. I mean, it really wasn't.
It really wasn't. Yeah.
The point is, you completely changed how the species works. Yeah. And not all to the good. In fact, it may be that the species is incapable now of navigating, because we are so easily divided from each other over things that should absolutely be galvanizing us, right? So if that's true, if a technology can sweep to fixation, it's not quite fixation. Glenn Beck does not have a phone, but everybody else does.
Well, everybody else, almost everybody else with the means, which means, you know, some people in the non-weird world have it, but many people don't. And some number of people in the weird world just don't have the means for it either.
Well, I'm being glib, of course, but my sense is that there are people who don't have a smartphone in the U.S., very few. Right. Is my impression.
Yep.
Right. I'm not saying it's universal in the homeless population, but I don't know how. I mean, maybe they're burner phones, or I mean, they're prepaid or whatever. But
is that a thing in smartphone land? I don't know. But yes, you and I have.
Yes, it is.
Zach says yes, burner prepaid smartphones. But yes, even among the homeless, who have almost nothing, there are people with smartphones.
Right. So anyway, and you know, also as you and I have encountered. Lots of people haven't. In fact, there are lots of places in the world where the landline network never got up and running. And so
this is a little different though. And we haven't been back, for instance, to Madagascar since the late '90s.
Yeah.
By the mid-90s in Madagascar, we didn't have cell phones until 2003, 2004, something like that. Cell phones, even. We didn't. Mm-hmm. We personally didn't. All of our colleagues did, but we were like, nah, not sure. Basically, at the point that I was late-stage pregnancy with Zach, it's like, okay, we got to get phones. But mid-late 90s, when increasingly people were getting cell phones, but by no means was it universal in the US, say. In Madagascar, many people had cell phones.
Yep.
But smartphones didn't exist, and they were cheap flip phones, and I have no idea, not having been back to Madagascar since 99, what the distribution of flip phones versus smartphones looks like. What we were seeing was, because it is such an impoverished country with so little ability to put in infrastructure, landlines just never went in. Yeah. So there are a couple places, I imagine Tana has some landlines and such, and some of the bigger cities, but throughout most of the country, there's no capacity.
Well, the cell phone was just superior because you could actually call from places and reach people and other things that you might want to do.
Oh my God.
With a phone.
Trying to make a landline call to our parents at some point in like 93 or something. And I don't know, it took 3 hours and we still were able to be like, we're alive. Bye.
Right. We still don't know whether they thought that was a good or a bad thing.
The parents on the other end?
The parents, they probably thought it was a good thing.
That we were alive?
Yeah.
Probably.
I don't remember the nature of the question, but I know that. Yeah, the Borg and whether or not
transhumanism.
Resistance.
IOB, did you figure out what IOB means? It's on what? It's on pitch.
No, okay. It's going to be Internet of something.
I don't think so. I think it would have been a little O then.
It would have been a little O. It wasn't a little O.
No.
Mm.
So that's all the Urban Dictionary
gave me. Okay. It's on, bitch.
It's on, bitch.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. So we do these things. It's increasingly catastrophic. We need to stop doing these things. And not doing these things means reversibility.
Yeah, reversibility.
All right, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed that worked reasonably well, although I'm not sure that it did because I can't get into the chat room to find out what the response is. But anyway, this is free association. It's a bit of a mess this week, but never mind. Mercury's going backwards, but that'll change next week, hopefully. So, Mercury isn't actually going backwards. It looks like it's going backwards. And it's going to look like it's going forwards again next week. So that should improve my chances of actually having a show that works reasonably well. I just laugh. Have to just laugh at these things. It's just technology. It's just things not working. But honestly, how can you take it serious? How can you really take it seriously? If you take it seriously, you would go insane. You would go bananas. And I think that's true of pretty much everything at the moment. I'm just not taking it seriously. I'm finding things that amuse me about things that are ridiculously serious and potentially tragic. Which I don't know what that says about me, but it says that I'm trying to avoid thinking about things, and I'm doing that by making them amusing. And that's the only way I can deal with the current situation and the stuff I'm researching and all that sort of stuff. So I'm doing it the best way I know how to do it. If it becomes a bit of a chaos festival, then it becomes a bit of a chaos festival, and that's all there is to it. But it was funny. It is funny. Today's a good show. Even though it might not have worked, it worked for me in its own way. And I rehearsed this earlier on, and it worked perfectly. I rehearsed the first part. I didn't rehearse the second part. And I didn't get to do the first part. All I've done now is the second part. But there you go. Free Association, 11 a.m. Eastern, every Saturday. My name's Dennis Barker on Twitter. If you want to follow me, feel free. I've got a podcast called Free Association Roundtable Radio Show and Podcast. And there's a roundtable on Tuesdays. Early morning for you guys, breakfast time for me. But you can find it in the archives. The first one was a good one. Next week we'll have more than just one person, but it was a good conversation nonetheless. 2 hours with Joel Ueli is a victory. I've got more people coming on to make it more of a round table, but it was short notice for them the first week. So we'll build it up over 10 weeks up to Christmas, and then we'll see where we go from there. That's my current plan. And the best laid plans, they don't always happen the way you think they're going to, but nevertheless, I'll see you on Tuesday, and I'll see you again on Saturday. Thanks for listening. And if you've got any money sitting in your pocket that you might want to donate to the station, we're listener supported. Come on down to freedomslips.com. Look for the donation tab. And thanks for listening, guys. I'll see you next week.
Revolution Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth, as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
What the heck is the truth, jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this truth jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.